This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Time now for part one of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you by the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, where membership means value, by Michelle's Pharmacy of Carlinville and Gillespie, and by Farm Credit Services of Illinois.
Prepare yourself for the flu season. Michelle's Pharmacy is now giving vaccines, and the best part, no appointment or prescription is needed. If you or a loved one are on Medicare, vaccines will be billed at no cost to you. Michelle's Pharmacy offers influenza, pneumonia, Zostavax, and Tdap vaccinations. Protect yourself today. Get all your vaccinations at Michelle's Pharmacy in Carlinville and Gillespie. Call 854-4022 or 839-9901. Michelle's Pharmacy, where delivery to your home or office is always free.
Crop insurance has become an important piece of the puzzle for today's farms. So why not let the professionals at Farm Credit Services of Illinois show you how crop insurance can be a good fit for your operation. Learn the ins and outs about today's coverage plans, acceptable replant options, and preventative planning guidelines. Plus the latest information on changes to the federal crop insurance program. You get up-to-date information on your policy coverage, delivered by professionals who know farming and the benefits crop insurance can provide. There's a lot to know about crop insurance, and Farm Credit delivers the best value for your premium dollar. For information on crop insurance coverage for your farm, call us today at 800-444-FARM. That's 800-444-F-A-R-M. Crop insurance through Farm Credit of Illinois. It's a good fit.
Hi, this is Alan Kasten, Illinois Farm Bureau, District 14 Young Leader Representative. Can't wait to check the markets. By joining Montgomery County Farm Bureau, you can receive the weekly Farm Week newspaper free. You'll love the charts in the back. How about the free Farm Week market information? You can also receive the latest updates about the markets on your cell phone. Get AgriVisor free online, plus listen to the free RFD radio network and podcast. Brought to you by Montgomery County Farm Bureau, where membership means value.
On the Chicago Board of Trade Monday, March wheat ended at 7.78, down 3/4. May wheat ended at 7.87 and 3/4, down 3/4. July wheat ended at 7.93 and 3/4, down 1 1/4. March corn on Monday ended at 6.98 and 1/4, up 4 1/4. May corn ended at $7.25, up 3.5. July corn ended at 6.97 and 1/4, up 2.5. January soybeans yesterday ended at 14.18 and 3/4, down 5 1/4. March beans ended at 14.09 and a half, down 8.5. May beans ended at 13.99 and 1/4, down 10 1/4. January soybean meal yesterday ended at 4.2060, down 71. March meal ended at 4.1940, down 54. May meal ended at 4.1180, down 52. January soybean oil Monday ended at 49.16, up 22. March oil ended at 49.70, up 26. May oil ended at 50.18, up 27. March oats on Monday ended at 347.5, down 1.5. May oats ended at 354.5, down 1 3/4. Right now we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the cash grain report.
This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Monday afternoon's grain report. First of all, the Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids dropped 5 to 8 cents on Monday to range from 14.30 to 14.44, while basis ended steady to 3 cents lower at 11 to 25 over January. Hi-Pro 48% soybean meal on a truck basis dropped $7.10 a ton on Monday to range from 4.3260 to 4.4260. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids down 4 cents at, increased 4 cents at 7.02 to 7.13, with basis ending steady, ranging from 4 to 15 over the March. Illinois river barge loading elevators quoted producer corn bids 4 cents stronger at 6.73 to 6.79, basis steady at 25 to 19 under the March. Soybeans down 5 cents at 14.36 to 14.44, with basis also steady ranging from 17 to 25 over the January. And the new crop wheat bids for July 13 delivery, they dropped a penny on Monday, ranging from 7.52 to 7.64, with basis steady at 42 to 30 under July. That concludes our grain report for Monday. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Livestock futures on the Chicago Board of Trade Monday, February hogs ended at 85.72, down 65. April hogs ended at 88.72, down $1.40. May hogs ended at 95.72, down $1.87. December cattle on Monday ended at 129.90, up a half dollar. February cattle ended at 132.30, down 127. April cattle ended at 136.37, down 85. January feeder cattle yesterday, 151.40, down 62. March feeders, 154.27, down 45. April feeders, 156.50, down 30. Back we go to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the Cash Livestock Report.
This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Monday afternoon's Livestock Report. First of all, in the Eastern Corn Belt on Monday afternoon, barrels of gilts on a carcass basis traded 38 cents lower. The base price for a 200-pound pork carcass ranged from $70 to $80.20, with a weighted average carcass price of $80.13. From the Illinois Direct Slaughter Sow and Boar Report on Monday, slaughter sows traded mostly steady. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds traded at $42 to $45. 4 to 5 weight sows at $43 to $48. 5 to 550s at $46 to $49. And heavyweight sows over 550 pounds range from $47 to $50, with a few head at $52. On the Illinois Direct Trade on Monday, barrels and gilts at the country buying points traded mostly steady. U.S. 1 and 3 grade barrels and gilts weighing 220 to 290 traded at $52 to $55. Also a special report from the bread cow auction at the Carthage Livestock Auction on Friday. At the bread cow sale, receipts did total 670 head, a large offering with a near capacity crowd and very good demand. Bred cows considered medium and large, and the third stage considered young traded at $1,600 at $2,250. Some bred cow large in the second stage considered young at $1,600 up to $2,350. Large cows in the second stage considered middle age at $1,350 up to $2,300. And the bred cows large in the second stage considered age at $1,000 to $1,350. Bred cows large in the third stage considered young at $1,800 to $2,500. The middle-aged cows considered in the third stage at $1,350 to $2,500. And cow-calf pairs, medium and large ones considered young, range from $2,100 up to $2,450. And cow-calf pairs, medium and large ones, middle-aged cows at $1,400 to $2,400. From the National Carlot Pork Report at the close on Monday, trading was slow to moderate as 73 loads did trade. The fresh quarter-inch trim loins were a dollar lower. Boston butts were unevenly steady. And for the day, a 200-pound pork carcass was $1.07 higher, closing at $82.39. On the box beef cutout values, Monday at the close, trading ended slightly higher. Choice carcasses weighing 600 to 900 pounds increased 68 cents up to $194.15, and select carcasses gained 76 cents at $181.05. On the estimated daily livestock slaughter under federal inspection on Monday, cattle slaughter estimated a very light holiday-ridden 82,000 head compared to 31,000 last week and 9,000 a year ago. Hog slaughter, though, a very large estimate of 357,000 head compared to 143 last week and only 5,000 head on the holiday a year ago. Also, we have a recap of the Hamilton's Madison County hay auction last Saturday. Receipts for that auction totaled 1,521 bales, and compared to last week, small squares of alfalfa sold a dollar lower, with small grass hay in small squares mostly steady, and the wheat straw steady to 50 cents lower, while the large rounds and large squares were trading mostly steady. Alfalfa premium quality small squares range from $5.40 up to $5.60 per bale, with some large squares, the 3x3s at $1.25 up to $1.50. Good quality small squares of alfalfa range from $3 up to $5.10, with some large squares, the 3x3s range from $1.01 to $1.11. Some large rounds, 4x5s at $71 per bale. Alfalfa orchard grass mix, good quality small squares range from $4.70 up to $5.20. Mixed grass hay, good quality small squares at $4 to $4.40, with some large squares 3x3s at $68, some large rounds 5x5s at $70 to $75, and large rounds 4x5s at $50 to $60 per bale. That concludes our livestock report for Monday. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Spot dairy prices on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday: for butter, 149¾ unchanged; for block cheese, 176 up 2; for barrel cheese, 171 unchanged. The spot price for Class 3 milk ending Monday, $17.91. Here are the bids from Hog Inc. Incorporated of Greenfield and Scottville. Corn delivered to Greenfield for January, $6.94. Corn delivered to Scottville for January, $6.86. Beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville for January, $14.38. And wheat delivered to Scottville, $7.37. For more information or to confirm the bids, call Hog Inc.'s Greenfield office at 217-368-2888. Once again, 217-368-2888. And that's all for part one of the Morning Farm Show. It's coming up on 19 minutes after the hour of 6. Color radar showing no precipitation in the mid-Illinois listening area. This check of color radar weather brought to you by Carlinville Truck Equipment and by the M&M Service Company.
Whether you're a municipality, business, or individual, Carlinville Truck Equipment has the Henderson Dump Body, Snowway Plow, or Salt Spreader to fit your needs. Carlinville Truck Equipment has its equipment ready for immediate delivery. Plus, as always, Carlinville Truck still has you covered for all your truck equipment services, your repair needs, farm bodies, hoist, van bodies, lift gates, service bodies, or any other truck equipment you might need. Call them at 854-6706 or see them on the web at CTEMI.com.
Ready to improve your farm's operating efficiency? Talk to FS about their precision farming programs and decision-making tools. M&M Service Company will provide you with an integrated system of agronomic products and services, placing the latest innovations of precision farming technology at your fingertips. And with expert analysis and recommendations, the process of decision-making becomes a lot easier. Discover how FS can apply precision farming technologies to your operation. Contact M&M Service Company today and find out why FS is your partner to a better future. M&M Service Company, your natural resource.
Across mid-Illinois for your New Year's Day, becoming partly cloudy and colder. High temperatures today in the mid-20s with light north winds. Tonight, clear and colder, the low about 10 above. And for tomorrow, Wednesday, sunny skies, the high in the mid to the upper 20s. Your extended forecast for Thursday through Saturday, clear to partly cloudy skies. Low temperatures in the mid to the upper teens, highs in the upper 20s to the mid-30s. Right now, north winds at 6 miles per hour, the barometric pressure steady. We have partly cloudy skies, 19 degrees, on this New Year's Tuesday morning from FM 106. Part 2 of the Morning Farm Show is next.
You already know you can buy, sell, trade, even locate and give away on the WSMI Trading Post.
But did you know now you can also advertise yard work and house cleaning services?
The WSMI Trading Post. Buying, selling, trading.
And now advertising house cleaning and yard working services every Monday through Friday at 9:45 on WSMI AM 1540.
Part 2 of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by Seavers Equipment of Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, and Auburn. By the CHS Service Center of Louder and by Envirofoam of America. And in our farm news today, Monday morning, we talked to Arlen Suderman of Water Street Solutions about the grain trade. As 2012 came to a close, he said buyers are waiting on what happens in Washington.
Well, unfortunately, it's just new frustrations from Washington that totally removes any enthusiasm out of the market for trying to sustain any rally. No one really wants to own the so-called riskier asset classes amid that uncertainty. And once we move past the fiscal cliff concerns, then we have the debt ceiling problems with the nation running into the debt ceiling on the last day of the calendar year. We have 2 months through finagling of books to kind of stretch that along. But that just means that we're going to be in this period of uncertainty for a long time. We have seen more export business with wheat exports in particular being strong. We're picking up a lot of sales now to China and unknown destinations for soybeans, offsetting many of the canceled purchases of higher-priced soybeans that were made right ahead of Christmas. So we are seeing some fundamental strength, but frankly, no one wants to own these markets.
And I think that's primarily because of the fiscal cliff issues in the near term, over the next 30 to 60 days.
Yeah, exactly right. And until we get some resolution And, of course, it can't be what the market considers a bad agreement either. It needs to be something that looks like we're making progress, moving in the right direction in the mind of the marketplace. And so, you know, once we get that, then I think that we could see quite a bit of money coming back in with Dodd-Frank creating some restrictions. But I think there's a willingness to come back into the markets. Until then, I think rallies are going to be limited.
There was also talk of a one-year extension of the current farm bill. That's a factor too, correct?
Yeah, it's a disappointment to many in agriculture, hoping to get somewhat of a permanent increase. There's even a bill for just a one-month extension that's expected to receive some votes as well. Which way we come out is still anyone's guess, and of course it'd have to go to the Senate as well. But that bill originating in the House, so at least it looks like some optimism may get some movement to make sure we have some coverage, but a longer-term bill was really hoped for.
And that was Arlen Suderman of Water Street Solutions. In other farm news, on Friday, the quarterly hogs and pigs report was released. It showed that market pig numbers were just slightly higher than from the same period of 2011. Breeding hog inventory was also slightly higher than from a year ago. We talked to Illinois Pork Producers President Eric Dunkirk about the numbers, and he commented.
I thought, Randy, the numbers were probably a little better than what some guys were talking about. Maybe the numbers were slightly lower than what they actually were.
What do you mean by when you say the numbers were better? What do you mean by that?
Well, it showed a few more hogs in the inventory than I think what most guys were expecting.
Did that surprise you?
It didn't me. I thought we would see a little larger decrease in numbers from last year. So, yeah, I'd say I was, you know, not just shocked, but just a little surprised.
And the inventory of hogs, the breeding hog inventory, how did that look to you?
Yeah, and that number was actually slightly up a little bit, I think. And I think a lot of guys were expecting to see a percentage point or so drop in those numbers, and that apparently wasn't there. And I think, you know, the take-home message from the report is that the pork producers have learned over the last several years how to become pretty good at what they do as far as managing inputs and locking in the best prices they can get, you know, to stay profitable. And they're kind of dedicated to producing a safe, healthy, nutritious, and affordable protein source.
And do you think that with those breeding stock numbers saying pretty much the same, does that reflect the thought that maybe feed prices will come down some over the next few months?
Yeah, I don't know. I think the guys are probably nobody's willing to step out there and make that call. As you hear continued talks about drought, uncertainty going into the next crop year here and how much moisture we're going to have heading into the spring. And you hear a lot of talks about guys looking at possibilities of another drought again this summer or starting the subsoil moistures drain compared to last year. So I don't know if guys are really hedging on the idea that they think we're going to have cheaper feed costs this coming year or not, or if they just think that they can manage the risks and weather the storm.
I think what they're banking on or are thinking about is the fact that the old saw that droughts always have long tails.
True. Yep, true. You know, and I think guys are just thinking the demand's going to be strong. Like I said, you know, the world has shown us they still want a good protein source, and I think pork producers are going to produce it.
That was Derek Dunkirk, president of the Illinois Pork Producers Association. Time through the ages has been adapted for many purposes. The Romans were known to change the calendar to keep a politician in office longer. Some calendars work off moon cycles, others don't. Todd Gleason files this report on the Gregorian calendar and how it's used to tell time.
U.S. Naval Observatory Master Clock. At the tone, Eastern Standard Time, 11 hours, 12 minutes, 25 seconds. Universal Time.
This is the official voice of time in the United States. It is the U.S. Naval Observatory Master Clock Announcer, a voice many radio and television stations depend upon. Well, the U.S. Naval Observatory's written mission includes determining the positions and motions of the Earth, Sun, Moon, planets, stars, and, well, other celestial objects, providing astronomical data determining precise time, measuring the Earth's rotation, and maintaining the master clock for the United States. The U.S. works off the Gregorian, or Christian, calendar, and our concept of a year, of time, is based on the Earth's motion around the Sun. The time from one fixed point, such as the solstice or the equinox, to the next is called a tropical year. Its length is about 365 days, but varies by a few minutes or hours. Our concept of a month is based on the Moon's motion around the Earth, although this connection has been broken in the calendar we now use. The time from one new moon to the next is about 29 and a half days. So the moon cycles and our monthly Christian calendar don't quite coincide. It has years of 365 or 366 days, is divided into 12 months that have no relationship to the motion of the moon, and groups weeks in sets of 7 days. Today, a website called Calendars Through the Ages reports almost everyone takes the precision of our calendars for granted, unaware of the long threads spooling out from our clocks and watches backward in time, running through virtually every major revolution in human science. The thread, it says, runs largely through the West, since this is the source of the world's civic calendar, but also casts lines of varying sizes and thicknesses outward to China, India, Egypt, Arabia, and Mesopotamia. Unwinding backward, it pauses at Clavius and Bacon, at the rush of knowledge coming from Islam and the East during the Middle Ages, at bloody wars fought over dates after Rome's collapse, and at Rome itself, at its height, when Julius Caesar fell in love with Cleopatra, an affair that gave the West its calendar. Many different calendars have been developed over the millennia to help people organize their lives. According to a recent estimate, there are about 40 calendars used in the world today, particularly for determining religious dates. Most modern countries use the Gregorian or Christian calendar for their official activities. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
At the tone, Eastern Standard Time, 11 hours, 13 minutes, 10 seconds.
On the AM Live program Monday morning, Rita Frazier of the Illinois Farm Bureau had a sit-down chat with WSMI General Manager and co-founder Hayward Talley and his wife Emma. Rita asked them about their farm programming when they first went on the air in 1950.
From the day we went on the air, we began what we called the Mid-Illinois Farm Hour. And that consisted of noontime farm programming, and of course, I did it. And that was true for several years.
What kind of information, just the daily kind of information, what were you including then?
Markets, principally. We also, not perhaps right at the beginning, but we also had farm advisors from the area participate in our programming. We had Earl Peterson from Hillsboro, and from Carlinville was O.O. Maury. Or two of them that I particularly remember. Then we did have a home advisor from Greenville who was quite an interesting person. That's one of the joys of being my age. I forget names.
So when did you advance that? I know state fair coverage. How did you handle that kind of thing, and what was your focus there as far as getting out? I know there's several pictures of you guys out and about on the fair coverage, that kind of thing.
Yeah, the first summer we made arrangements to broadcast live from the Illinois State Fair in Springfield. That was extremely unusual for, a non-metro station. WGN in Chicago was the only station that really broadcast from there, as far as I know. And WLS at that time was the station that broadcast from the fair. But we made arrangements to broadcast from the Farm Bureau tent there on the grounds of the fairgrounds. And so it was Emma and I that did the broadcasting.
Do you guys remember that? Maybe, Mrs. Talley, do you have any thoughts or memories of that coverage being up there?
Well, I would run over to the area where the home ec people were exhibiting and so forth and so on, find information to bring back for the broadcast. I remember interviewing Imogene Abernathy, for example. That was one of my friends that was also a home ec teacher.
Many thanks to Rita Frazier of the Illinois Farm Bureau for sharing her interviews with WSMI General Manager and co-founder Hayward Talley and his wife Emma. That's all for part one of the Morning Farm, for the Morning Farm Show on this New Year's Day, 2013, from WSMI FM 106. We'll keep you updated with the commodity markets tomorrow, as the markets are closed today for the New Year's holiday. Part two of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by Seavers Equipment of Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, and Auburn, by Envirofoam of America, and by the CHS Service Center of Louder.